And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That would be this one. That would be Alabama. I'm talking about this show goes way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, even Mississippi thrown in just for good measure. And that is, Boomer, I just got to say, that is my favorite bump, I think. I mean, everyone. I mean, I'll hear Stranglehold.
You always like that one.
Yeah, I'll hear Stranglehold. I'll hear, you know, that one from BTO you had a minute ago. Mm-hmm. But then, I don't know, something about when that one comes on, I got to play the whole thing out before I can even talk.
you just enjoy that one.
I just do. That just gets all over me. Black Crowes, Shake Your Moneymaker. There it is. I got two pieces of breaking news before I get into the Dipper. So these are two big deal stories. One is a loss to the Christian community. And, I mean, granted, he's walking the streets of heaven right now. But just today, Pat Robertson, the founder of CBN, Christian Broadcasting Network, had a long career in Christian broadcasting. Was a pioneer in that regard. He ran for president at one point. I mean, he's been a national figure in conservative Christian culture and politics and everything for, you know, decades. Anyway, 93 years old, just passed away today. So a loss to those of us who will now walk the earth without him, but I've always liked his stuff. And anyway, Pat Robertson passed away today at the age of 93. And then the other piece of breaking news, totally different topic. I don't know if you saw this, but the Supreme Court of the United States came out with a ruling today. I really didn't think they would rule this way. I'll be honest. I don't want to say that I sat around, you know, waiting and opining, but I can't believe they did. They ruled against Alabama. So we are now a racist state again, apparently. God, go figure. You may recall that just last week I did a monologue. I called it Racist If You Do, Racist If You Don't. And I wound up taking that one and turning it into a written op-ed that was published just this past Monday because we suspected that the Supreme Court was going to rule sometime soon on a case that was allegedly saying that Alabama's congressional district lines are racist. The argument has always been that under the 1965 Voting Rights Act, that Alabama had to get pre-approval from the DOJ on any new lines that are drawn to make sure that we were not going to be reverting back to days of racism, all right? I get it. And by the way, that was the Democrat Party back then in charge. But nonetheless, I get it. But in 2013 or 2014, because of a case that came out of Shelby County, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that Alabama had basically made enough strides that we were not required to get everything pre-approved from then on. And so we're drawing the lines, right? Every 10 years as a census, we draw the lines. We draw state House and Senate lines. We draw, you know, school board lines. And we draw congressional lines. And like, for instance, Boomer and I are sitting here right now in a small section of the 4th Congressional District of Alabama, Robert Atterholt's district. We got 7 congressional districts. It has always been that there's going to be at least one of those that is considered majority black in population. And it's drawn in geographic sense. And there has to be one black congressional district. That's been the way we've had to govern things. It's been there since 1992. Almost unchanged. A couple years ago when the new census came out, the Alabama legislature drew the lines. And it was hardly any difference than what had been there since 1992. Like maybe a street here or a small piece over there, but no big deal. They're like resubmitted them thinking there'd be no big deal because it wasn't. Nope. Democrats filed suit alleging that now race was not considered enough. What? So that's why I said racist if we do, racist if we don't. Well, the Supreme Court of the United States heard oral arguments this past fall. It seemed to be looking like it was going in Alabama's favor. Because the state argued, we did this race neutral, and now you're telling us that we have to consider race? So isn't that racist in and of itself? Well, the argument from the left was, oh, no. You have to consider population of the state, not of where they live. You have to consider percentage of the population. You have to consider that if Alabama is 24-25% black in population, then that would equate to the idea that we have to have at least two majority black drawn districts. Really? Is that the new rule? Because that's not been the rule. Well, as of today, it's the rule. So Alabama will now have to redraw all of our district lines. So next year, who's your congressman now might not be your congressman after the election, because they're going to be running for new districts. And how they break that out, I don't know. And right now we have one Democrat in our House delegation, one. Congresswoman Terry Sewell. And so Terry Sewell, serving, you know, where she does geographically, it's drawn out as just the way the population falls out down in Greene County and all those areas, Butler County. It's a majority black district, and she has always been elected there. I got a question. Has she helped or hurt herself by supporting that? I guess she's going to say this is the right thing to do, but I guarantee you she's sweating bullets at the same time, because what's going to wind up happening is, in order to make this happen, in order to draw lines that have a preponderance of people of a certain color in it, you're going to have no choice based upon where people live but to begin dividing up what's already drawn. And so I'm not going to be a bit surprised if she doesn't wind up having sort of a threadbare constituency based on what she used to have compared to what she's going to have. I'm looking at this going, you know what? First of all, it's aggravating. Secondly, I didn't see it coming. Thirdly, I feel like they're telling us to be racist when we didn't want to be racist. They told us for years not to be racist. Now we got to be racist. But what I'm seeing right now, too, is, I'll be honest, I don't know. We might redraw those lines. And the assumption is, by Democrats, the assumption is that black folks only vote Democrat. Now, is there a preponderance of the black voter base that votes Democrat? Yes. But more and more, that is not being the case. In fact, under the Biden administration, they've become more and more disenfranchised, if you will. You heard Joe Biden during his election sitting there with that podcaster, Charlemagne the God, up in New York. Actually, Joe was zooming in from his basement, I believe. And he looks at him, and I couldn't believe he did this, but it's this typical Joe Biden. He looks at him and goes, "Man, if you ain't voting for me, you ain't black." How insulting is that? I mean, how absolutely presumptuous is that? So here's the thing. What this may do is, well, first of all, it's going to require a special session. I guarantee you our legislature just realized that coming up here in the next few months, they have no choice but to go back in for a special session to vote on redrawing the lines based upon the Supreme Court decision. They will. I think they have to do it before November, because I think qualifying is in November for congressional races. Good Lord. But that being said, what could also happen is those lines could get redrawn, and they might wind up making Terry Sewell's life more difficult, because it waters down what she considers her current base. It also presumes that black people will only vote Democrat. So, I don't know. Wouldn't that be a hoot, though? Wouldn't that be a royal hoot if we redrew the lines and there were at least two majority black districts and we wound up with just as many Republicans? That would be a hoot. All right. Listen, we're going to have plenty more where that came from. I'm going to go ahead and take the break a minute early so I can come back and jump right into number one of the Triple Dipper, When Helping is Hurting. I got some stuff here. It's almost like a Woke World segment, man. It's going to curl your hair. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. We are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right, where common sense is a superpower. Number one of the Triple Dipper, When Helping is Hurting. You know, it's amazing to me when liberals get an opportunity to set public policy. I mean, they get a chance to pass the laws, the ordinances, the resolutions, the things that make their cities, towns, and counties, and states, and nations, when they make them run. Sometimes what they do is run them right in the ground. So I'm going to give you a few examples of what happens around the nation when there is public policy being set and you look at it and go, okay, you thought you were helping. Dude, you ain't helping. You're hurting. Here's one that we'll probably talk about more later on, too. I don't know if you've heard this yet. I pulled this one off of townhall.com. So New York City. You know, I actually, even though he's a Democrat, I kind of had high hopes from Mayor Eric Adams when he first came into office. You know, he said all the right things on the campaign trail. He's a former police captain. And I was like, okay, this might work. Bring law and order back to the city. Be a guy who's going to back the blue. And at the same time, maybe he's got some administrative sense. No. Did I say no? No. Liberal City of New York, according to Town Hall, dated yesterday. The Liberal City of New York unveiled vending machines. Now, picture the same kind you would see, like, I don't know, in a hospital waiting room or wherever. You know, the glass paneled. It's filled up with potato chips and candy bars and whatever else. And you push the button and it kind of spirals that thing forward and drops a candy bar at the bottom. You pick it up. How about if we just fill that up with things like crack pipes, safe sex kits, Narcan, and lip balm, of all things. Oh, and sex toys. What? Oh, yeah, make it for free. Wow. Liberal City of New York unveiled vending machines packed full of goodies for drug users who need to get their daily fill. Yep, New York City health officials installed big blue boxes featuring affordable drug paraphernalia, including safe sex kits, naloxone, crack pipes, lip balm, and Narcan. The drug box was very popular with users who cleared out the vending machines by 1 p.m. the day they were introduced. Just after lunch, they're gone. I mean, you know, hey, free stuff, right? Officials say the devices must be restocked at least twice a day. Instead of candy and chips, New Yorkers can get high for free and have all the sex they want without age restrictions because children have access to these machines, too. The best part? It's costing taxpayers nearly $11,000 per machine to let druggies keep up their drug-fueled lifestyles. Says the first vending machine in Brooklyn does not currently have syringes. However, there is a strong possibility for future machines to also have clean needles. This is going to go great. I mean, do they think that they're helping? And I would say no. New York City Health Department admits that overdose deaths in the city are at an all-time high. Okay, they didn't say people dying from dirty pipes. They didn't say people dying from not having enough lip balm. What they said was, we see this as an epidemic, and so we're going to give them more stuff to make the epidemic worse. Fentanyl alone was the cause of 80% of all overdose deaths in New York City. So as the Post, this came off of Town Hall, who pulled the story from the New York Post. As Town Hall was writing here, that says a passerby yelled out, "You'd be better off moving that thing and putting an ambulance over there," because it is not going to help the situation. It's not. This is a classic example of liberals going, "What can we do? Well, we don't want to offend them. We can't ask them for accountability. What do we have? We got some extra money? I know. Let's put clean crack pipes in a vending machine and let them get whatever they need, and we'll restock it daily." Folks, that ain't helping. That ain't helping at all. Here's another one. Austin, Texas. You know, a lot of times we picture Texas as being, you know, this bastion of conservatism. Governor Greg Abbott, you know, others, and just going to war every day with liberals. Except that the capital city of Austin, Texas is becoming quite the liberal stronghold, all right? So a property owner, this is a piece that came off Fox News, dated 2 days ago. Property owner in Austin, Texas, is begging the city for help in response to a homeless encampment he says is negatively affecting his life and his business to the point where he may have to pack up and leave. So a guy named Pedro Morales owns a building in the South Lamar neighborhood of Austin. And he's got a homeless encampment that just popped up in a narrow space between his building and the one next door, like an alleyway, really. And these homeless folks just set up camp. They've got bedding and shelving and kitchen items. They got a laptop plugged in, hotspotting. I mean, it's a whole different world being homeless now than when the hobo used to catch the train and ride to the next town. He even found somebody's ankle monitor lying on the ground that had been taken off. Morales says he's called police and asked for help, but he's gotten a very lackluster response. They came out one time. He says, "I've got zero accountability here. I got to clean up somebody else's mess. The city created this. I didn't create the mess between my buildings." He says, the way this city has progressively moved towards a direction of just plain tolerance has caused this. He says, I want to be tolerant, but you can't affect my business. I can't allow that. I'll be tolerant until I start losing money, and then I'm out of here. It's recently estimated that upwards of 5,000 people are living on the streets in Austin now. Why? Because policies that they think are helping are hurting. I'm not saying you have to go in there and do some kind of a big sweep and, bulldoze everything out of there and flush the streets clean. But you know what? You can't have people crapping on the front stoop of a store and expect folks to want to go shop there. You can't expect there to be drug use in the alleyway next to your active business because pretty soon moms and kids are going to stop coming there. When you can smell the trash coming out of the homeless encampment right next to your house or right next to your business, it reduces quality of life on those who do pay the taxes that help the city to run. Oh, by the way, the city that is then running itself in the ground by putting these policies in place. It's unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. But it just gets deeper. I mean, listen, I've got some stuff here where I don't know how in the world some of these places believe that when they put these policies in place, it's like, that's going to go really well. What do you say we do this and then see how it feels? I think it's going to wind up being great. What do you say, fellas? And they, next thing you know, they're just literally robbing the good folks of the city of a quality of life. Here's an example. Portland, Oregon. God, what a beautiful city. Boomer's shaking his head. Portland, Oregon.
I do love Portland. I know. It's just...
it's a beautiful place.
It is. It's gorgeous.
The Pacific Northwest is gorgeous. Pacific Northwest is going to break off into the ocean one day.
Yeah.
Under the weight of its own stress. story on the Washington Free Beacon came out yesterday. In the crime-ridden city of Portland, the weed industry is getting twice as much funding as new cops. Wait. Okay, let me make sure I'm understanding what's happening here. So you got crime-ridden Portland, where I think it was Walmart that recently shut down, and like Nike is closing its stores, and it's like people don't want to be in business there anymore. Crime and homelessness is at an epic level right now in Portland, Oregon. And yet this article is pointing out that the city's liberal mayor, Democrat Ted Wheeler, has proposed spending more than $10 million on marijuana-related initiatives in the upcoming year. Nearly double the amount that he's requested to hire new police officers to try and police the streets. Huh. I'm looking at this and going, what exactly are you helping, Mayor Ted Wheeler? So here's the thing. I look at this and go, what the heck, man? So he's got $5.3 million in the budget to hire 43 new police officers. Okay, wow. But he's going to spend twice as much as that on marijuana initiatives. What are they for? Well, you've heard of Pete Buttigieg's racist roads. Well, how about this? Wheeler's budget includes a $3 million proposal for an ongoing cannabis fund and another $7 million behind another cannabis fund, which will do things like provide social equity and education development grants, which disburse funds to rectify past racially biased cannabis policies and disparate cannabis-related arrests for Black, Indigenous, and people of color, and women-led owned small businesses. What the heck? So he's going to pay for a program to the tune of millions of dollars to help fix the racism involved with cannabis distribution. Really? Well, that's going to help. I'm pretty sure the crime rate's going to go down, because you know what's going to happen? All of the BIPOC, that's Black, Indigenous, People of Color, and women-led small-owned businesses that like to smoke dope are going to move to Portland, and everybody else is going to be going, I'm out of here. Are they helping or hurting? Yeah, I'll let you decide. Coming right back, I'll tell you what public dollars are being used for at the University of Oregon. Woo! Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.
right side ruffians out there. You are listening to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national covering down on all the issues. And like that dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, we're finishing up this segment I had, number one of the Triple Dipper. I call it When Helping is Hurting. I mean, you look at some of the policies that Democrats put in place. Liberal progressives thinking, well, how can we help the homeless situation? How can we help people not want to do drugs? Here's an idea. Give them free crack pipes. Whoop, whoop. I mean, Boomer, I meant to tell you to go ahead and just have your finger on the jackassery button all day long. Just it's
I mean,
gonna be,
it's just...
It's a...
One after another.
One after another. Well, speaking of which, while your microphone's on, so what's up with, like, so for those of you who don't know, the Boomer family has roots in Oregon.
Yeah.
You are a Southern born and bred.
But, oh, yes.
But there are roots in Oregon.
There's some roots in Oregon.
Mm-hmm. What in God's name is happening to Oregon?
I do not know. The roots that I have in Oregon are uprooting.
Yeah, they are, actually. They're all moving here.
Some of them moved here. Some of them are possibly one day is going to move to Florida. I mean, they're uprooting. The other ones, I'm just praying for.
Like strangers in a foreign land. Here's one for you, bud. I just did the whole Portland thing, right?
Yeah.
Oregon, University of.
Oh, man, and I like Oregon. Don't
the Ducks. Man, the Ducks. Oregon Dean of Students promotes an LGBTQ emergency fund, including sex toy shops to students.
No.
That's the Dean of Students for the University of Oregon promoting what he terms as an LGBTQ emergency fund because apparently... let's go to the article here. It's from Daily Wire, all right? Daily Wire. University of Oregon is offering a, quote, emergency fund for trans-identified students to attain gender of... Are there that many? How many do they have? I mean, is it just like an all-trans university now?
From the article, that's what it sounds like.
There's some weird ducks out there, man.
Some weird ducks. But I had friends that went there. I almost went there for grad school.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, okay. they do have cool uniforms for the football team.
They do.
Every other day. University of Oregon offering an emergency fund for trans-identified students to attain gender-affirming resources, including sex toys and trans vocal lessons.
Vocal lessons?
Look, man, if you're transgender, you got to learn to talk right. You can't sound like a dude and look like a chick. You got to learn to, I don't know, lilt the
vocal
voice.
Vocal lessons. How do you, what, why? Do
there
you
is
vocal...
a cottage industry going right now.
Man.
I'm just saying.
They're thinking of every small little thing that they could possibly bring in and just trying to push it.
Tuck-friendly swimsuits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your face on a beer can. I got news.
Let me teach you how to talk. I mean, come on,
there
man.
Are people getting paid with public tax dollars using the emergency LGBTQ fund at University of Oregon to get trans vocal lessons.
Well, they're getting all of the woke words, I'm sure, in.
Can you push the jackassery button, please?
Yes, I can.
Thank you very much. It says the public university, and I stress the word public because that means tax dollars are helping to support it. The public university allows LGBTQ students to request financial assistance to cover transgender treatments, support, and resources under the Gender Affirming Support Fund. The application describes the fund as an opportunity. I got to ask a question. If you decide to detransition, do you have to pay them back?
Oh.
I feel like a girl today.
Or, you know, they may just say, oh, you're transitioning again. We'll give you more money.
That's true. We got to help you because you didn't get it right the first time. It didn't take.
It didn't take. I guess you're going back, so we'll help you again.
Says the application you have to use describes the fund as a, quote, opportunity for LGBTQ2IA+ acronym students at the University of Oregon to request emergency funding one time during each academic year to pay for items that impact their sexuality or gender identity. The Gender Affirming Support Fund is but one of the LGBTQ resources that the University of Oregon Dean of Students Marcus Langford's website promotes. So this is the public university, Dean of Students, has a website that advertises different places that are friendly to the trans community. For instance, the eco-conscious, green, gender-inclusive sex toy shop in... Oh, my God.
Wow. This is just getting worse and worse every day, the moment you keep reading it.
How much... Hit me a jackassery button. How much wokeness... I don't...
What is this dean thinking? He's not.
He's not. But listen to this sentence. He's advertising the eco-conscious, green, gender-inclusive sex toy shop. I look at it and go, can you cram one more woke word in that sentence? What else is missing? I mean, the only thing missing is, I guess they got electric vehicles because it's eco-conscious. They didn't have vegan in there.
They didn't have vegan.
It's not vegan. Eco-conscious, green, gender-inclusive sex toy shop in Eugene, Oregon. Those people are trying way too hard.
Yeah, they are.
They have niched themselves into a place where there's like three people in the world that are going to shop there.
They must be getting a lot of business from those three people.
Oh, my gosh. The website for the Dean of Students also praises that store's offerings, which include things like packers, binders, gaffs, harnesses, breast forms, and educational workshops about consent and kink. Oh, my God. And I don't even read the rest of it because I don't think I can read it on this radio show. I might get fined. The website page promotes the services of Your Lessons Now, which teaches transgender voice lessons and whose purpose is to help you find the voice that is true to yourself. Help you find the voice that is true to yourself. I got news. If you're having to find your voice, you don't really have it. It's not yours. That's like saying... If you have to acquire the taste for coffee, it means you don't like it. You're having to power through. If you're having to acquire a taste or if you're having to find your voice, it's not really your voice. You're faking it. What you're doing there is saying, I don't think I sound the way I want to sound, so please help me sound different. Let's go ahead and admit what this is. You're a dude, and you sound like a dude, and you got a hairy face like a dude, but you want the world to call you a chick and use different pronouns. And so you need somebody to help you do your voice different. That's what's happening here. That's what's happening. These are, by the way, public tax dollars. Right there. And by these stories, you got the resources posted today too, right, bud? So if you go to our website, if you want to find this story and send it to somebody and go, look at this one, you can go to our website, rightsideradio.org. And on the page where it says live stream, you can go there right now and watch us in studio as we laugh and push the jackassery button. But right above the video streaming of that live stream page on rightsideradio.org is a button that says resources. You hit that button, every one of the stories that you hear me rattling the paper for is up there for you to pick. I got some callers on the line, so let's do that before I go to the break. Line one, Ralph Huntsville. Hey, Ralph, how you doing?
Hey, Phil. This is another one of the jackasseries. MIT student did a recent doctoral thesis on oreology. Are you familiar with oreology?
I don't know that I want to know what oreology is.
Well, do you like Oreo cookies?
Okay. I can deal with Oreo cookies.
What do you do with an Oreo cookie? How do you eat an Oreo cookie?
Well, you take it apart and you scrape the icing off.
Well, but when you take it apart, one side keeps the icing and the other side doesn't.
Does that make it racist? What's happened now?
No, but the Department of Defense... funded this program to study why that happens.
Oh.
And they came up with the fact that ultimately it had to be the process that the cookie was made by.
Wow. Okay. Did this change the world in some way? Or are we ending world hunger? What are we doing here?
Well, the whole thing about it is another waste of stupidity of wasteful of our money.
Oh, it just never
ends. This is defense money. It's not, NIH or something like that. why aren't they out there buying bullets with that money rather than trying to figure out why an Oreo cookie has cream on one side?
I don't know, brother. All I know is I like Oreos, and this is ruining it for me.
Well, you got to have milk with it now.
That is true, too. And by the way, double stuff. Once you've had double stuff, there's no going back. Ralph, thanks for the call, man.
Boy,
appreciate
it. You got
it.
That right. Bye-bye.
See ya. Line two, Steve, Tennessee. Hey, Steve, how you doing, man?
Hey, man, I just got to say, I got sent to Bahrain once, and in Manama there was a store, and I thought it was the longest name for a store that you could ever have, but your Oregon store topped it, but it was the Muhammad Rajak Kahuji store. No, Muhammad Abdul, that was what, Muhammad Abdul Rajak Kahuji store. They sold blue jeans, but I think Oregon beat them, you know? Just saying, that's all I got.
All right, thanks, Steve. Appreciate you, man. I don't know what a Kahuji is. I think we need to stop talking right now. I might have just said something bad in a foreign language. I don't know. All right. Yeah, there it is. The eco-conscious, green, gender-inclusive sex toy shop. That's the name of it. In quotes. I'm reading it in quotes. Woo. Lord God, hit me a Jack Ashery button and take us to a break. All right. When helping is hurting. All right, y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. I'll take text messages and kind of wrap up this segment. And then bottom of the hour. Boomer and McQueen coming on at 3:30. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Well, I tell you what, that whole last segment turned into a total hoot. Let me go to the text lines real quick. And by the way, keep in mind, coming up here at the bottom of the half hour, Boomer and McQueen, it's our favorite segment we do every Thursday at that time. So yeah, coming up 3:30, Boomer and McQueen. By the way, I will say this too, before I go and read text messages. During the breaks, you hear the advertisements play, right? Whether you're in our Birmingham stations, our Huntsville stations, wherever, streaming online, you're going to hear advertising. And just know this. Right Side Radio, we are a standalone entity. We are a business unto ourselves. We're not owned by the radio stations we're on. If you want to advertise on this show, we'd love to have you because that's part of how we sustain our operations. So if you would like to advertise on Right Side Radio, you can't call the station to do it. You got to contact us directly. Go to our website again, rightsideradio.org. Go to the place where it says advertising and contact. Send us a message, and we will get in touch with you right away. I mean, some of y'all, I know for a fact, are out there going, man, I identify with these guys. That whole jackassery thing, well, I need my business in there. So I'm just telling you, if you want to advertise on Right Side, we would love to talk to you. Go to rightsideradio.org. Send us a message on the advertising and contact tab, and we will get right back to you. Let me go to text messages here. I got a bunch of them. Good heavens. Oh, my gosh, Boom. Do you have that explosion sound? Because the text messages blew up. Thank you very much. Russell from Rural Route 1, with regards to my opening monologue on freedom, he says, great monologue on freedom. And then he says, by the way, add me to the cis list. So... there's a whole lot of us cis white males that are still out there, by golly. Roger from Ardmore, in reference to the rainbow flag, those afraid to offend cannot speak the truth, said Thomas Paine. There you go, brother. Junebug from Hartzell, that's Casey, Junebug from Hartzell, sent me a link to a story about the Supreme Court striking down Alabama's congressional lines. Yes, ma'am, I'm aware. I talked about it earlier, and it's one of the biggest stories out right now. It's going to have national impacts, I guarantee you. Scott from Huntsville says, the recent threats against the SCOTUS judges have definitely changed the way the high court rules. I think the outcome of the Alabama ruling would have been different if it weren't for that. I don't know, Scott. I think that really what we're seeing is that John Roberts never really was a conservative. He was always kind of mediocre. Because now, Brett Kavanaugh did actually cross over and vote with the liberal side, but it was a 5-4. It could have been I guess... it could have gone the other way if Kavanaugh had... anyway, the bottom line is this. 5-4, we lost. We got to redraw the lines. Ben from Decatur on the New York City thing about putting out the vending machine so you can get free crack pipes and all the cool stuff. New York City mayor is also now seeking to place illegals into private housing. If you have an extra room, they want those to go to illegals. Good luck to those in New York. Yeah, I'm saying, by the way, I think he's backing off on that, just so you know, Ben. I saw an article that I didn't read it, but it said that he has begun backing off of those original comments. The very idea that he would go, well, they're here illegally. Can someone please take them in? So they broke the law to get here. They may or may not speak the language of the household, and the government let them in, but you want the private citizens to take care of them. It's just it's more of that jackassery. Teresa from Town Creek. Can we stop this roller coaster so we can get off, please? I think we feel that way a lot lately. John from Harvest. Until the voters in Austin and Portland and Seattle and Chicago and San Francisco and others, and by the way, John, I would also go ahead and argue Birmingham, fundamentally change their voting habits, then nothing is going to change. The disturbing fact is these cities have spiraled into oblivion for years, but the electorate continues to vote for leftist politicians who double down on failed policies. You are correct, John from Harvest. JT from Lacey Springs again says, New York City vending machines. Remember how weird we thought it would be when Walmart installed fish bait vending? Wow. Makes a lot more sense now. And it probably has a lot fewer implications. Jenny from Decatur, I find it extremely hypocritical for sanctuary cities to be upset if illegals are sent to their cities. I would tend to agree. That's what they said they would do. Brian from Birmingham, it was a great documentary, he says, by Paul Joseph Watson. I won't say the name of it because I can't say it on the air. He says, you got to see it. It's truly chilling. That's from Brian on I-65, he says. Anyway, oh, yeah, Brian from Huntsville just texted in to you, boom. Mm-hmm. Says, I'm betting your wife now is glad you didn't go with the Ducks. Otherwise, no marriage. Just saying.
Probably, yeah.
Worked out all right.
Worked out good.
Yeah. You can say roll tide and call it done. Alex from Elkmont. So on those the issue of those transgender vocal lessons, says, does the voice lessons change their inner monologue too?
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think so.
No.
I'm pretty sure not. Wade from Huntsville. Can we just get Doc Brown to build a flux capacitor and take us back to 1985 and allow us to stay there with better movies and better music and much better morality?
Ooh. I'd like to ride in the DeLorean.
The DeLorean? That's right. With the flux capacitor.
Yeah.
Where we're going, roads. We don't need roads. All right, let's finish these up. Raven from Russellville says, welcome to Clown World, where the giant jack wagon of liberal government is being pulled by a team of jackassery. Enjoy your stay. This is not the America we grew up in, fought for, and bled for, and love. I want my country back. I agree with you, brother. You know what? That means we can't be idle, man. Cannot be idle. We have to not only have a voice, but be willing to get out there and do stuff. Jeff from Indiana, with regards to Oreos, says double stuff is not enough. It's got to be mega stuff. I did not know they made a mega stuff. Is there a mega stuff?
There is a mega stuff.
Holy cow.
And it's awesome.
Is it like an inch thick?
It's huge.
All I know is, once you've had double stuff, a regular Oreo feels like you're being cheated.
Just like, it's true, though. Well, I mean, like, why do they even make regular Oreos anymore?
It's like, yeah. It's like eating a slider compared to a full-on Whopper. You know what I'm saying? It's
just, absolutely.
Anyway. And then John from Huntsville says, Phil, I can see it now. A brand new college called Trans University, and their sports mascot is a giant rainbow with a mustache and a dress. I'll take it. Perfect timing. Running the segment right on out. All right, listen, coming up next, my favorite time of every single week, Boomer and McQueen. We will be right back.